Welcome to the Hope City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
Go with this thing. Well, this morning, we are digging into Matthew 21. So if you've got your Bibles with you, raise your hands up if you've got your Bibles. We're going to get here in just a second. My iPad is not opening, so let's see here what God is going to be able to do to help us. You know, it's so interesting when you dig in to this idea. We're stepping into when Jesus came in on the triumphal entry, the beginning of the Passion Week, the beginning of really the end, the beginning when Jesus stepped in and he said, okay, like this is, like I've been called to make a difference and I'm stepping in to make a difference. And so when you dig into this, it's really amazing. In fact, the interesting thing is there's so much that happened in that last week of Jesus's life. We're going to be digging into this until about after September, right? That's a lot to happen in a week. When you think about it, because if you know, when Jesus came in on the triumphal entry, that was the beginning of the week where he would die at the end on Friday and be resurrected. And it is such a life-changing week, and we've named this sermon series Unwavering. And as I was laying this out, one of the things the Lord has been talking to me about is to call people to unwavering consistency. Write it down. Unwavering consistency. I want to unpack what unwavering consistency looks like. And we're going to dig in with the beginning when Jesus came in on the triumphal entry, Matthew 21, 1 through 11. The Last Supper would happen on Wednesday. Wednesday would also be the day that Judas would betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, which would have been anywhere from $90 to $3,000 in our time today for a very small amount. It was the price you'd pay for a slave. Friday would be crucifixion, and 3 days later, Jesus would be resurrected. One of the common themes that we see throughout Scripture is that Jesus was unwavering. He was consistent. He would show up. On that opening week, when he knew his life on Friday would be gone, he showed up. He modeled what it looked like. And you might go, well, that's Jesus. If your life is inconsistent, God is calling you to unwavering consistency. And here's what I mean by inconsistent. I mean, you, at the minute that something comes along, you're like a weed that just kind of flies and goes wherever, and like there's no consistency. In your walk with the Lord, when difficulties come, it knocks you out. The enemy has you chasing your tail, literally. And God is saying, listen, be consistent. Show up. Jesus showed up for us. He was 100% God and 100% man. So he modeled what it looked like to have unwavering consistency, even in the face of extreme difficulties. And it's interesting because today we've entitled the message In the Spotlight. As he came in on the triumphal entry, the spotlight would have been on him. The eyes of Jerusalem were on Jesus and the disciples. And Jesus didn't crumble and run away. He was unwavering. Friends, we are called to be unwavering and consistent. When difficult times come, you can't fall apart and run away. We live in a culture that celebrates moments, but God calls us to consistency. Even on Facebook with our reels, what is it? It's a moment. It's here today, gone in a minute. We celebrate viral. We celebrate hype. We celebrate breakthrough. We celebrate spotlight moments, but what happens when the spotlight fades away? What happens when life gets difficult and life gets challenging? See, the problem I think we've got is we've got a whole generation of people that go to church, but they aren't the church, right? So they look at the church as a fast food restaurant. Well, if I don't like the meal over here, then I'm going to go over there. And you just, wherever the wind goes, I've even heard people say, well, wherever God tells me to go, I'm going to go. Okay? How about we put our roots down? And we say, God, no matter what, I'm going where you call me to go. And if it gets difficult, I know I'm going to hold on because I'm unwavering and I'm consistent. Spiritual maturity is being consistent. Immaturity is flowing like the wind. And wherever life takes you, you go. The kingdom of God is built on something deeper than hype. It's built on unwavering faithfulness. And I think the spotlight, when we say turning the spotlight off, it's when the hype goes away and the rubber hits the road. Anybody can come in here and have a high with God, but what about when we go back Monday through Friday and we face real life? What happens then? Let me ask you something. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to follow Jesus when everything feels electric? When prayers are being answered? When worship feels powerful? When life is moving forward? But what about when the crowds thin out? When the feelings fade? When obedience gets costly? Some of you just checked out. You're like, hey, I didn't sign up for costly. I signed up for the easy button. There is no easy button following Jesus. Jesus didn't get an easy button. He went up on a cross for you and I. Like, guys, this really happened. I mean, I want to tell you, I was over in Jerusalem back in November, and I literally saw the road that Jesus came in on the triumphal entry. It all of a sudden becomes alive to the reality that Jesus is real. When we talk about his crucifixion, when we talk, like, I don't think we can fathom it because it's so far outside of reality of what we see today. When the feelings fade, when the obedience is costly, what about when the spotlight is on? I see this with even people in the church. It's easy to just show up, but what about when you get convicted or God starts working on your heart? What about when people hurt you? You are going to get hurt when people are around. You know how to get over that? Is forgive them. There's this big word today called church hurt. And everybody runs, and they use that as an excuse. And I'm telling you right now, rise above it and forgive people. Do you know how many times I've been hurt at Walmart? And I don't say I got Walmart hurt. I hate that place. Yes. And you all go back every time. When you're scanning your Cocoa Puffs, and it triple scans on the, and they have to cut, like, we all get hurt. But what if that church hurt was the way the enemy was using to pull you away from God and the very people you need? How about we forgive offense? I promise you, if Jesus wanted to be offended, he could have been offended so many different times. That's it. I'm not dying on the cross for them. Look what they just did to me. The only way a church can be built and the kingdom of God can take ground and reach the world is by us being unwaveringly consistent. No one has ever said the Christian life's going to be easy. Jesus is the example of that. Through the difficulties, through the challenges, we are called to be unwavering and consistent. I'm going to say it over and over again because it's so important. And this is the time when unwavering consistency matters the most, when it's hard. So today we're going to be looking at one of the most famous moments in Scripture, Palm Sunday, a spotlight moment, crowd, celebration, noise, momentum. But what we're going to see is this: the crowd was loud, but they weren't lasting. Are you loud? Are you going to last? Are you the same way? Why is it? It's really quiet. And here comes Jesus. He was unwavering. I want to read about it in Matthew 21, 1 through 11. Grab your Bibles. Here we go. We're going to read it. As the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. Go into the village over there. He said, as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside them. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt, which is all very important. And we'll talk about it here in just a minute. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him, and they threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of this procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David, blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this, they asked. And the prophets replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The crowd was happy until they realized that Jesus came for a different reason than they expected. Jesus sends his two disciples. A donkey is brought. Cloaks are laid down. Palm branches waved. The crowd shouts, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest of heaven." As we read verse 10, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. This was a moment. It was a spotlight moment. But here's the tension. The same crowd shouting Hosanna on Sunday would be shouting crucify him on Friday. In 1 week, in less than 1 week. It's interesting, when I got the opportunity to visit Jerusalem in November, I saw the road that Jesus would have had to travel down even in the triumphal entry. And it was about like this. We all think from the kindergarten Bible stories that it was this straight, like, celebration. Listen, there was nothing about Jesus' life that was easy. Even that, riding down a donkey, imagine what that would have been like. And it's a long road. How many of us give up when the journey gets tough, even in the midst of incredible victory? How many of us look at what's wrong instead of looking at what's right? We take our eyes off Jesus and we start to chase our tail. And what God is saying is, I want you to be unwavering, and I want you to be consistent, and I want you to keep showing up when it's hard, even when it's hard. Keep putting your roots down. Keep planting where you're at. He wants us to be unwavering and consistent no matter what's happening in life, even if. Holding on and saying, God, no matter what, I'm not going to let anyone steal my calling. No matter what, I'm not going to let anybody hide my gifts. I'm going to show up. I'm not just going to go to church. I'm going to be the church. I want to share with you 4 points about being consistent that we get from this sermon, from this portion of Scripture, and we're going to go pretty quick here. Point number one, the crowd was emotional. Jesus is consistent. We can't live by our emotions. We live in a world that is dominated by emotions. You're going to feel one way today, another way tomorrow. It's like a roller coaster. So how do you get over that? You keep your eyes on Jesus. You stop chasing after all of the inconsistency and saying, God, I give this to you. I'm not going to live by what I feel. I'm going to live by what I know. Being unwavering and consistent is not just if I feel like it. It's no matter how I feel, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to remain unwavering, even if I don't feel like it. How many of you know, Americans, we're run by how we feel? Everywhere you look on social media, it's how you feel that sets you up. I want you to know our feelings, they're important. They're God-given, but you got to know how to manage them. Because your feelings, if you let them run your life, they will literally cause you to spin and go spin in just in circles. It's like one of those little tops. Like, how many of you know what I mean? Well, I feel this way. So that must be reality. You got to go by what you know, not by what you feel. As you read our scriptures today, you see the crowd that was moved by the moment. All of a sudden, they felt like all the excitement. They wanted a king. They wanted rescued. They wanted political freedom. They wanted Rome gone. And that's why they thought Jesus had come. But they wanted a version of Jesus that fit their expectations. What are you expecting Jesus to do that is not in his character? And when Jesus didn't perform the way they imagined, their praise turned into rejection. Because emotional faith without rooted conviction will always waver. Emotional faith without rooted conviction will always waver. How about you? How do you respond when Jesus doesn't perform the way you expect him to? Think about that for just a moment. I heard a sermon the other day that said, Jesus, actually for us, put your expectations away, because expectations are not what God has given us. And a lot of times, expectations will cause you to cause doubt in your life. Well, God, I expected you to show up this way, and you didn't. But where do we get to the point where we say, God, I trust you enough that however you show up, I'm going to be good with it. Because I know that all things work together for good. Doesn't mean all things are good. But in those moments where things are not good is when we keep showing up, is when we're unwavering. How did Jesus respond? He didn't ride into Jerusalem surprised. Oh, I'm so shocked. Like, wow, I just went virtual. Wow. He wasn't swept up in the praise. He wasn't addicted to the applause. He knew exactly what was coming. The cross, the betrayal, the suffering. Yet he rode in anyways, unwavering. Church, consistency means you don't let the applause define you and you don't let criticism derail you. If you live for cheers, you'll die by the booze. Jesus was not controlled by public opinion. He was anchored to the mission. What controls you? Point number two, spotlight faith is easy. Secret faith is proven. It's easy to wave palm branches in a crowd. It's harder to stand at the cross when it costs you something. It's harder to take your place on the wall and build a kingdom-focused church when it costs you something. I want you to know, worship, as we watch our worship team up here, they are some of the people that pay the biggest price spiritually for Hope City to move forward. The battles they face, they are an example of what it looks like to say, God, unwaveringly, we are standing with consistency. We're going to show up. Unwavering consistency is going to cost you something. If something doesn't cost you, it probably doesn't have an impact for the kingdom. But see, none of us, we don't necessarily all want to pay the price because it's just easier to go to church and not be the church. Anyone can follow Jesus in a moment of momentum, but unwavering faith is built in private obedience. It's built when no one sees you pray, when no one applauds your generosity, when no one notices your integrity. When obedience costs you comfort, when relationship costs you something, when discipline is required to see breakthrough. That is unwavering consistency. And how many of you are getting all the good like feelies today? But I want to tell you something. This is the key to freedom in your life. The crowd wanted a conquering king, but Jesus came riding in a donkey. This was intentional. Kings rode horses when they came for war. They rode donkeys when they came in for peace. Jesus wasn't coming to conquer Rome. He was coming to conquer sin. The crowd wanted temporary change. Jesus came for eternal transformation. What if what you're walking through right now is about eternity, not your comfort at this very moment? And it's going to take unwavering consistency to dig in and say, God, I want all that you have for me. I am no longer going to chase the things of this world that makes me feel good for the minute. But God, no matter what it takes, unwavering consistency. When the spotlight faded and most of them disappeared, Jesus was still there. Let me say this very clearly. If your faith is built on feelings, it will crumble when the feelings fade. Unwavering consistency is built on conviction, not emotions. Emotions will take you on a wild roller coaster. Unwavering consistency will bring stability in your life. One of the things that the Lord dropped on my heart just a minute ago about emotions is they are a dashboard to what's really going on in your heart. You catch that? So if your emotions are all over the place, God might be saying, hey, it is time to get healed, friend. That's a sign that you're off. That's a sign that you're dashboard. That's like the emergency light. And I know some of you ignore your check engine light for a long time or your low fuel light. You cannot ignore this emergency light on your dashboard. Point number three, Jesus wasn't distracted by the moment. Verse 11 says, and the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. There's one massive thing that they missed here. He wasn't just the prophet, he was the Savior. Do you see that? They missed that. He wasn't just a good prophet, he was the Savior. Who is he to you? They were close, but they didn't fully see him. You might be close, but you can still be off. And yet, Jesus didn't stop to correct their misunderstanding. He stayed on mission. Sometimes consistency means staying focused even when people misunderstand you. As a pastor, as a leader, as a parent, as a believer, you cannot afford to live on reacting to every opinion. Unwavering consistency means you wake up Monday and you follow Jesus. You wake up Tuesday and you follow Jesus. You wake up Wednesday and you follow Jesus. You wake up Thursday and you keep following Jesus. You wake up Friday when it's hard and you keep following Jesus. You wake up Saturday and you keep following Jesus. Not because a crowd is watching, but because he is worthy. Unwavering consistency means that you find a church and you put your roots down. It means that you bring your talents, your resources, and your time, and you find a place in the kingdom with the rest of the body. You find a family. This is how the church reaches the world. It doesn't reach the world with people who haven't planted roots. And I want to tell you something. Even the armor of God has a piece, which called the shoes of peace. They have long spikes that keep us held firm. Those go right into the ground. And listen, we all fight together. And when you're fighting by yourself, the enemy can take you out. But when you've got an army beside you, which is a church body, that enemy is not going to be able to do anything to you. You will hold firm. Point number four, and I'm going to hurry. Jesus knew Friday was coming, and he still showed up on Sunday. Here's what grips me about this passage. Jesus knew the same voices praising him would abandon him. He knew betrayal was coming. He knew pain was coming. But he didn't slow down. He didn't pull back. He didn't protect himself from the spotlight. He knew Friday was coming, and he still showed up on Sunday. And I say this again, let it sink in. He stayed consistent. That's unwavering faith. Again, you might go, well, that's Jesus. Listen, he modeled what it looked like to be a human and still accomplish what Jesus called him to do, or what God called him to do. Consistency isn't pretending everything is easy. Consistency is obedience, even when you know it's going to cost you. Some of you are in a season right now where it would be easier to quit than keep moving forward. Easier to disengage, easier to compromise, easier to shrink back, but then the enemy wins. Unwavering faith says, I will stay steady, I will stay planted, I will stay obedient, I will stay faithful, and there's going to be a moment where there'll be breakthrough, and you're going to see God do incredible things in your life. Not because it's easy, but because Jesus was faithful to me. Consistency is showing up when you don't feel like it. Putting those shoes of peace on. So how do we apply this practically? What do we need to do to stay consistent? First of all, we build rhythms, not reactions. Okay? Don't live off spiritual adrenaline. Build daily habits of prayer, scripture, community, serving, taking rest. Some of us go all in and we get worn out and we get burned out and then we wonder. So take the rhythms of saying, okay, God, show me what it's like to take a rest. Show me what it's like to take a Sabbath. Some of us, we're about ready to step out of the game because we haven't taken a Sabbath and haven't gotten rest and our bodies need it. Discipline is the key. You're like, oh man, talking about discipline. You don't rise up to the level of hype. You fall to the level of your habits. Second thing is follow Jesus for who he is, not what he gives. The crowd followed for miracles. Unwavering believers follow for relationship. If he never answered another prayer the way you wanted, he's still worthy. Stay planted when the spotlight fades. Some of the most spiritual seasons of our lives will be the quiet ones, when no one else knows what's happening. When nothing feels dramatic, there's some of us, we're addicted to the drama. We're addicted to the chaos. And God is saying, I want quiet. I want quiet because when we're quiet, we hear God. In the chaos, we make bad decisions. We pull away. I think that's one of the biggest challenges if you've struggled with addiction in your life. Chaos is a major part of that. And when it gets quiet, you don't know what to do. When nothing feels dramatic, when nothing feels viral, when nobody sees, that's where consistency grows. When you're in your prayer room, locked alone with God. That's the key to staying planted in church also. And as we close up today, I want to leave you with a couple thoughts here. On Sunday, they shouted Hosanna. By Friday, they shouted Crucify Him. Same city, same people, different pressure. The question for us is this: is your faith built on the spotlight or on surrender? Because real unwavering faith says even if the crowd changes, even if the culture shifts, even if feelings fluctuate, I will not. I will stay faithful. I will stay obedient. I will stay steady. I will stay unwavering. That is what I'm declaring right now. And here's the beautiful part. Jesus was unwavering to you. He didn't change his mind at Gethsemane. He didn't back out of the cross. He didn't waver in his love. Hebrews said, he endured the cross because of the joy set before him. What was the joy? It was you and me. That was the joy. The joy was us. So today, we don't wave palm branches. We offer our consistency. Not just Sunday praise, but Monday obedience. Not just spotlight worship, but unwavering faithfulness. Today, that's the word. Will you write those two words down? Unwavering faithful consistency. Make that a prayer this week. Show me areas of my life, God, where I have not been unwavering. Show me areas of my life where I've been inconsistent, and then turn that around. It'll change your family. It'll change society. It'll change the world. Can we bow our heads across this place? Lord, thank you for this word today. Lord, if we'll take it and we'll really get this down inside of us, there's going to be freedom for people in this room. Lord, there are truthfully some people that need to be set free from their emotions. The enemy has used that as a chain to keep pulling them and dragging them backwards. And God, I just pray that, Lord, we would keep our eyes on you. And Lord Jesus, as we get into our quiet time this week, Lord, you'd show us areas where we've been inconsistent. Show us areas, Lord, where we have not been unwavering. Lord, where we've allowed culture and we've allowed people's opinion, Lord, to cause us to waver. Lord, even those times when we are unwavering and inconsistent, you still love us. Lord, we see it happen with the disciples, God, in the story of crucifixion and resurrection. And so, God, I just pray that right now we would not look back to what we've done in the past, but, God, only look forward to what you have for our future. Lord, I pray there'll be people that will put on those shoes of peace and stand firm. Lord, in convictions and what you've called them to do, God, Lord, stand up against the things of this world that are trying to destroy their families. If you're here in this room and you say, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus, that's the first step. You have to surrender. You have to say, God, I give you my life. And I'm not talking about just saying a prayer and then going back to life as you've always known it. What I'm talking about is surrendering and saying, God, you run my life. I'm tired of running it. God, I give you my life. I give you my future, my hopes, my plans, and I will be unwavering for you. Lord, it seems like it's such a strong call where we live in a world that's focused on comfort. Lord, I pray you'd raise up unwavering, consistent believers. And today, if you're here and you need to give your life to Jesus, will you lift up a hand right now? I need to surrender my life right now. No one's looking around. It's you and me. Thank you back there.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.